Hey y'all, I'm Myth, and I'm the weirdest bitch you know. This is my podcast. Hey y'all, welcome to your new moon in Cancer reading. I'm excited to share it with you. May not sound that excited, but I just took a really amazing shower where I received some downloads, and yeah, I've mentioned this before, but new moons for me are really low energy. But I've been so inspired that I've been making a lot of things happen and practicing a lot. So I'm really low energy, but I wanted to share this transmission and, you know, see the energy for this time. Our new moon is going to be here technically the 28th, but the way that I see it, you know, we get time before. The day before, the day after, and the day of to work with the moon. If you want to, you can also just see these as like markers in time, right? There's really no obligation here. That's the cool thing. But yeah, so lots has gone down in this past cycle, this past lunation. And I guess I could do announcements before I get into the reading. It won't take but a minute. I now have one-on-one timeline jumping sessions on my website. You can jump with me one-on-one, and I would love to facilitate that for you. I've really been enjoying playing with this modality. I'm here for any questions that people might have about it. I got trained by P the Fairy, who I think I've mentioned here before. They're just a very interesting person who has really just amazing ideas about reality that have really energized me. And it's been a really rewarding, exciting, and fun experience. So I also just published on Patreon a free public post about my perspective on timeline jumping, what it is, what it isn't, you know, the obvious signs that maybe it's not a good time for you to do it. Because you know me, I gotta focus on the no a little bit. I'm gonna be jumping into more yes. But yeah, so I have that info up. We have a group timeline jump available to all patrons. I think my $2 tier is about to go away. And so if you want to get in on the Patreon, the $2 tier is here till the end of June. But after that, I think I'm going to take that away. Anybody that's already on it or is on it before July 1st, you get to retain that price if that's what you can afford. But yeah, I'm feeling like, well, for me, it's like an energy exchange where, I don't know, I have thoughts, but I haven't fully, they're not fully baked. So I'm gonna wait and explain more. I've been learning a lot about reality shifting, especially in relation to money and the way that I handle it and view it. And anyway, this reading is gonna be a little different. I guess I probably say that like every every time we gather here in this virtual space. Oh, I should probably finish my announcements, huh? Okay, so that Patreon tier may go away, but all the others will still be there, and there's still a lot of like pretty affordable options, especially for how much I post. Yeah, so Patreon, that's there. It supports this podcast, but you get a ton of other stuff. Speaking of which, this is the thing I meant to finish talking about before I moved on. We're doing our first group timeline jump on July the 5th at 5 p.m. Central. That is an exciting, yeah, I'm really thrilled to be doing facilitating my first group jump with patrons. I know some of y'all have been waiting and are so excited. Actually, it was a patron that brought this date to my attention. Normally, I would be celebrating my mom's birthday that day, but she has to work anyway. So they said, you know, Kala, if you're listening, she said that might be an interesting day to do it because the particle accelerator, the Hadron Collider in Switzerland is going to be turned on for the first time in 3 years at a higher power than it's ever been on before. So there's a lot of reality shifting potential just there. I might be explaining this totally wrong, but you know what? I'm not a scientist. I'm not an engineer. I am a professional weirdo. So anyhow, I think I sat with it, you know, because if it were up to me, I would probably be practicing timeline jumping for another 3 months before I actually did a group jump. And there's a few reasons for that, but there's a reason I don't just make workshops and offer presentations. As much as I am told that I have a very soothing and nice voice and that I don't seem nervous when I present, I feel it inside. So, you know, that's also somewhere I'm going to aim with some of my next jumps, my personal jumps, because I want to be able to present. And so I'm just going to decide to do it. And yeah, I have jumped into the version of myself, the character that is me, who is more interested in paying attention to when it's time to do something than trying to force myself to do things, like creating a structure and then forcing myself to follow through. Okay, with that said, I also have one-on-one teaching offerings coming as well. So if you want to learn from me directly, and you want it to be super personal and intimate, that is coming. That will be available. And I'm really excited because I can sit with you. You know, we can take 2 weeks and do a deep dive. But what I realized is I am not good at a long, long time, like a follow through with a group. I did that I guess it was 2020. Now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah. So I tried to create this like group mentorship and I did create it, but I felt by the end, like I just had dropped so many balls. Like I got tired and, you know, then I got in my head about like, are people getting value from this? And anyway, I could ramble on about what I learned from that experience. And if you were there, like, and you're still with me and listening to this, like, thank you. I, you know, live and learn. I have compassion for the version of myself that did that. And, yeah. Okay. Into the reading. Let's get into the reading. I will stop talking about what's going on. I'm excited. That so many portals are opening up, and I believe it will benefit me and y'all who choose to do it. So, okay, this reading, instead of doing the normal spread where we look at the past, we look at the future, we look at what's here right now, we're not doing that. What I got was like a long string of tarot cards. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have, yeah, 8 cards. Interesting. That's just how many came forward. We have 2 runes, which, if you know, I have just been learning runes for fun. I don't have the intention of doing like personal readings with them. I'm not sure I'm even pronouncing their names correctly, because even though I've learned them, I just don't retain information like that. So not very easily. So yeah, we have tarot cards, we have runes, and we have 3 oracle cards from the Dirt Gems Oracle, which today just jumped out at me like, okay, plants want to talk. So let's start with the plant cards, because I believe that there is a lot of medicine here and that we need to, or that yeah, that's here for y'all. Okay. And like I said, Dirt Gems Oracle, if you want to look at the images, they're beautiful. So the first card that came forward was Calendula, the Firekeeper. And I love Calendula. My first association when I saw this was like, you know, maybe quite typical, sunshine and also a soothing balm. Okay. I'm not going to get all in the weeds with what is going on in our collective. I think most of us, or many of us, have been doom scrolling, and we maybe know more information than is helpful for our psyches, right? But yeah, so Calendula here just feels like a balm, right? You in your life can be the balm and receive the balm. And this card too, what I'm feeling here, there's actually a pair of scissors cutting a braid. And there is that sense of like leaving old shit behind, right? Like stepping into the sunshine, like dusting off whatever we might be feeling really heavy or burdened with at the moment. Yeah. So sit, if you feel like sitting with calendula, the actual flower, or, you know, doing a little research, that's there for you. But if you're listening to this, you probably know a little something about most of the herbs I'm going to talk about. Okay. The second card is catnip. Oh, before moving on, okay, calendula in this deck is number 5. And y'all might know, because I never shut up about it, I love 5s. It is like the welcome change for me, you know? Some people see 5 as chaotic, but I see it as like a relief. Like, yes, things keep moving. Yes, there's something else. Yes, time rolls on, right? Anyhow, the second card being catnip, in the book, they call it the soothsayer. And the number on this card is 56. And it's a really also pretty colorful card. In this deck, I have the second edition, and some of the cards are black and white, and some of them are very colorful. And so far, these two are colorful and vibrant. So catnip, my relationship with catnip is as a tonic for anxiety and calming my nervous system. I never feel like numbed by catnip or like sleepy, but I do feel, here in the book, it says catnip will pull you into an embrace and let your eyelids close in restful sleep. Catnip will travel in your dream space with you and will ease you back into the waking world. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like catnip and calendula are really complementary, though. Oh, I also meant to say this about calendula. How did I forget? It helps you to hydrate, right? It helps with the absorption of water and hydration in the body. So if you're dehydrated, calendula can be an ally. Maybe just in the fact that it's a reminder that you need to have more water, or if you already have a relationship with an herbalist or with calendula itself, you can work with calendula. But when I am talking about cards and plants here, there's no advice, no medical advice. I'm not telling you to ingest these things. Just a point for your research. Okay. So here too, it says, if you need to cry or if you need to laugh, if you need to rest, invite catnip in. Let catnip swing softly back and forth, curled up in a hammock in a warm breeze with you. Yeah, there is that feeling that I know of from ingesting it during times of major stress and survival mode, where catnip has been that comforter that I needed. So what a good friend, what a good friend catnip is. Okay. The third card, one of my number one, it's really hard to say who's my favorite herb, but over and over I return to yarrow, and in this deck it is number 46. I just had a little synchronicity of my own, and I can't share it, but anyway, okay. So yarrow, the card has a spider web on it with the flowers and with four sets of hands. And in the book, they call it the edge walker. I do think of yarrow as going between worlds, but I also think of yarrow as the boundary medicine, that we need to be safe. So in the book, it says yarrow is a hardworking and precise filter, an edge plant and gatekeeper. Yarrow aids in deciding what stays and what goes, and therefore is a particularly good ally to empaths. If you are often subject to the swirling energies around you, find yourself especially permeable, overly impacted by others, yarrow is a very meaningful and loyal companion. Okay, so I don't want to unpack empath here right now, but if you're a highly sensitive person and other people's energies affect you, you don't have to take on the label and the baggage of empath unless that's already something that you identify with. I personally, I wish I could remember who I heard say this, but I heard someone say, oh yeah, I'm a retired empath. And I feel that. I really do feel that. I cannot take on anything more than what is actually my responsibility. And maybe you're coming to a similar place. That is a great time to be with the energy of yarrow. Yarrow is also a really safe herb, topically and internally. The reason that I see it, I know that other people see it as boundaries as well, but it is a literal boundary. It's an antimicrobial, antibacterial, it's such a friend. So those are the three cards from the Dirt Gems Oracle. You might have gotten synchronicity there, or you might not have. I'm going to do my best. I have to look up how to pronounce these runes. Do you hear that chord? It kind of sounded like a fart. That was indeed a chord. Okay, so if you are familiar with runes, what's interesting is I'm pretty sure I learned both of these together at the same time from my friend Vanessa of Come Full Circle Healing. I love her so much. But anyway, so I'm pretty sure they came at the same time, which is an interesting synchronicity that they're both here right now. But one of them looks like an X, and the other one looks like a diamond with almost like a, a helix in DNA, a DNA strand. So it's like a square, and then on both sides, there's like an extension. So let me just say the names. So the one that looks like an X is Gabo, which is about, you know, sacrifice or an offering or a gratitude, an exchange based in gratitude. And then this double helix, if I remember right, let me look really quick. Just want to try to say it as correctly as I can. Ingvas? Yeah. So this other one, Ingvas, I might be saying it wrong, but anyway. This one is about, it can be about family lines and ancestry and your roots, where you come from. So that double helix or that helix on the rune itself, it's so easy for me to remember this one. It might be the rune I know the best because it's, I associate it with ancestors. So what I'm hearing here is like, it is time to give the offering. It is time to set up the ancestral altar. If you don't have one, but you're feeling called to, or whatever kind of offering or exchange that you're feeling, if that may not resonate with you, but yeah, giving thanks to your roots, you know, it's pretty clear to me that there's something there. Maybe even former versions of yourself, right? Like having some compassion for who you were and even the flaws, right? Even the mistakes you made because it brought you here. So having some gratitude. So for me, I know that it is time to set up my ancestral altar in my kitchen. I had it in my bedroom, which I knew was like sort of an unpopular choice, but it felt, while I had it until I got the download to move it, it felt like the right place. And right now, my ancestral altar is in my dining room, and it just doesn't feel happy. My spirits don't feel happy there. And I got a reading recently. It was actually a geomancy reading, which is a really interesting, very old way of looking at, you know, a very old way of divining. And one of the messages was like, okay, you move your altar, your ancestral altar, like do it right. Like, you know what to do, you know, they didn't say it in that way, but I heard it in that way because I've been getting that message. So that is what's going to happen for me. What I'm going to get together on my end, and Cancer, you know, Cancer as a sign, it feels very much like home, right? So I'm not going to get into my chart. I've been learning more astrology again, I don't want to give astrology readings. But I want to make sure that when I'm sharing information that is, you know, astrological, even if it's just the moon sign, I want to be able to give, you know, I don't know if accurate is the best word here, but I want to know what I'm talking about. And I want to know for myself what, you know, evolutionary ways of looking at the signs, right? I don't want to use any modality to lock myself in or other people into a fate that is not necessarily their fate. Yeah, it doesn't have to be like that. So anyhow, I think of Cancer and I think of home. I think of the mother line. I think of, you know, your roots, where you come from. Though I suppose Capricorn is, you know, in the same way, but opposite. They are polar signs, right? On the other end of the zodiacal wheel, there is Capricorn, and that is more of the paternal lineage, the father's side, and yeah, I think it can also be roots. So anyhow, those are the runes. I'm going to put them away now so I don't forget. Ugh, I put this little rune bag in bag where I keep incense, and it smells kind of crazy, but delicious at the same time. All right, now to go through this line of cards, and just for your information, the card deck that I'm working from tonight for the tarot cards is, oh my gosh, what is this deck? I've been been using it for a couple of days. I swapped on a whim. Oh, the Somnia tarot deck. And I guess part of why I did that unconsciously, I think, is because I've been having very strange dreams, and this deck is based on sleep paralysis and dream visions that the creator had. So I thought that was kind of an interesting, I don't know. Anyway, just a little aside. Okay, so the eight cards are Page of Wands, Eight of Swords, Five of Coins, Two of Wands, Two of Swords, Ace of Coins, the Hermit, and the Fool. Okay. I like how there's all this shit to go through, and then there's all these invitations here, and then the Fool, right? Oh, begin again. There's something else. Go back to zero, back to neutrality. And another journey, another invitation, another lesson or chapter. So anyhow, Page of Wands, Eight of Swords, and Five of Cups. I want to mention that none of these cards, even though I've been working with the tarot for so long, there are times where I will pull cards that I have heard somebody else say, oh, this is a scary negative card, and I'll have like a physical reaction, even though I don't believe that any card has to generate that for me. And some of these cards that would normally have given me a little, wince internally, I just feel really good about it. I feel fine. Like, whatever. All of this stuff is something I've been through, even if it all occurs in some sort of literal way. But really what I see is that this is all what's here just right now. This is how it's different. I don't see a future or a past here. I don't see an internal, external, unconscious. Like, I honestly just, all of this is all, like, I haven't seen this movie, but Everything Everywhere All at Once, right? That is the phrase that's coming through. Maybe I need to watch that movie. Okay, so Page of Wands, Eight of Swords, and the Five of Coins, right? Our stories can be the cage that locks us in. And what I see here with this Page of Wands is, like, we're able to, once we identify our programming, our Eight of Swords, whatever it is, our stories or the stories of others, right? Page of Wands is like, okay, well, I'm going to rebuild my spirit. Like, we've identified the programming. We're not necessarily going to, like, I recommend not beating yourself up about whatever is still there, right? We're not going to just overnight stop being affected by our conditioning that we've had for 20 or 30 or 40 years, right? Like, so the Page of Wands is like, I'm going to do this anyway. I'm going to thrive or burn or get in contact with my soul anyway. And the programs can be there. And Five of Coins here is like, okay, the scarcity mentality can be here. The hamster wheel of capitalism is going to be here. And yet, I will be a lit candle within anyway. The Page of Wands in this case, there's a candle in the front, a candle in the background, a candle at the person's hands, a second candle at the front, and then there's like this bottle coming out of the person's face, and it is lit like a candle as well. And the person is at this table, like it looks like they're stamping, like sealing an envelope where, you know, it's like, you named it, you claimed it, I'm doing it anyway. I'm doing whatever it is, you're gonna do it anyway. So if you haven't, if nothing is coming up for you, like, oh yeah, that's the thing I'm gonna do anyway, well, here's your invitation to see that, like, okay, material conditions are XYZ. The mental patterning is still, you know, whatever, it's there. But your soul doesn't have to be tethered by that because you've decided. And that's it. There's nothing, there's no homework. It's just like, you just decide it. That you're not going to just drop your belief system the moment that, like, you know, your external reality gets hard. You have to keep the inner flame lit. Mm. And in fact, on this page of wands, there, this front candle, because there's one, two, three, there's five in all. Interesting. The front candle, it almost looks like there's wind blowing it, but it's staying lit. So anyhow, that's the first three cards. Okay. Next, we have the Two of Wands and the Two of Swords, which is interesting. Okay. The Two of Wands on this deck, there's a person looking up at the moon, holding a candle, and then there's this other candle like hidden in the rock of whatever kind of structure they're looking out of. And then the Two of Swords, in this case, the person is in the water with the blindfold on. There's also a moon in the sky. And as you may be familiar with on any Two of Swords you've ever seen, they're holding two swords in front of themselves. So I associate Two of Wands with, like, there's this potential for scattered energy, but I'm really not getting that today. I'm not hearing that in this moment. I see that you may be transforming how you manage your thoughts and internal and external reality. The Two of Swords, the moon on here is like a crescent, and then the Two of Wands, it's full. So it's almost like, okay, if you do feel stuck right now, if you are like, okay, I don't know what my next move is, I can't find the portal to push myself through to get to my next whatever I'm trying to do. It's like rest, like be in your feelings, allow for them, and kind of let go of your attachment to like knowing what to do next. And from there, that is what will transform, right? Seeing two of the same number right here next to each other, there's a transformation with the twos. And this is really, the two isn't you and another person. It's you and you. So it's like, I think that parts talk might be really helpful here too. I guess in therapy, I think it's called internal family systems. And this has been on my mind, but I do think it's relevant that there are different aspects of yourself that are talking to you at all times. And you don't necessarily have to get them to agree. you can be, it's not that you're a hypocrite, it's like you're a human, right? Or maybe mostly human and a little bit alien, or, you know, a gnome that's wearing a human costume to exist in the world, right? whatever the case, you don't have to make all your parts agree. You can be a little paradox. No one is going to throw you in jail for that, most likely. It doesn't mean that your values aren't your real values or that your principles aren't your real principles. It just means that, you know, not every part of you is on board with what you believe, and that's okay. There's actually nothing to do here about that. And so part of this, with the Two of Swords, it's like, okay, accept. When you can accept where you're at, it's like, oh, this new path may emerge, or this higher vision, right? This vantage point where you can look at your options. It's you're able to sort of take that step back in the Two of Wands and see like, oh, I have choices, or these are what my actual options are. I'm not as stuck as I thought I was. But it, again, it's may feel a little differently for every one of us here. Okay. Now the last three cards really just like hit us here in the end, right? Ace of Coins and the Hermit and the Fool. Ace of Coins, it's hard for me to see this as anything but like, oh yeah, there's how I get my money. There's how I get the next resource I need. There's how I begin the venture and create from an investment that I just, you know, wasn't necessarily a very strenuous thing, right? It's like, yeah, if you're blocked in terms of like money or generating like believable portals for receiving, as P would say, create believable portals to receive, right? That's going to come forward. Like, just listen to yourself and like think of what you are good at. Like, for me, I can directly relate this to the fact that like people have been asking me for years for a private lesson sort of offering, and I haven't done it because I didn't believe, I think on some level, I didn't believe I could charge what I would actually need to charge so that I could afford to do it. But then I realized like I actually can. If people are asking for it, then that means it's wanted. That means that, you know, it doesn't mean everybody can afford it. But it does mean that some people probably will. And when I, you know, once I'm in a place of like, yeah, Ace of Coins, like receiving, I can choose how else to use that, right? I'll have more material resources, and then I can choose like, okay, well, this person can't, but maybe we can collaborate because I won't be in a scarcity mindset because I'll be charging what I actually need to charge, or I'll be not doing things out of obligation. So it's like my decision and it doesn't feel depleting on my energy. That's just what came through for me personally, but maybe you have something else, right? Where you're like, what am I supposed to be doing? What is the, you know, the invitation here? Okay. Hermit. This card does not mean isolate. But if you feel like, if you're not somebody who isolates typically as like a coping mechanism to deal with like how difficult the external world is, you know, taking time for yourself is great. Really, this card is more about just like minding your own energetic business. I've heard someone say that. I don't know who it was. Maybe it was past me, because sometimes that feels like a totally different person, but it's not. Anyhow, the Hermit, it's like, yeah, tend your own inner flame, release too much judgment. I hear release judgment for other people because like, the more you do that, like get to when you start observing other people with with uncharitable eyes, I'll put it that way. It's like, okay, well, that gets you kind of energetically involved in their bullshit. And you don't need that. They don't need that. You know, maybe they just need space to grow. Haven't we all at some point needed space to be a mess or to be reactive or to be however we were being in that moment that maybe we look back now and cringe? For me, that was literally earlier this year. So yeah, give people energetic space. And give yourself space. Keep your eyes on your own paper. Worry about yourself. Worry about your path, your next move. And I also hear like, don't necessarily tell other people about what you're thinking about doing, because even if they are totally 100% good intentions, which we know is not always the case, even if they're that completely pure, just wishing the best for you. When people start forming opinions in their own heads, in their own reality about your possible next steps or your business, there is a sense of pull, right? There is the ability that can like take the wind out of your sail a little bit, even if you don't otherwise discuss it. It's just like, I don't know. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Maybe not. But I'm just saying, like, if you're planning on especially making any kind of like big moves, don't tell people. Don't just announce it without like having the stuff, like the framework already in place. Or once you're already fucking doing it, honestly, unless they just have to know or you're collaborating or something. Okay. And then we got the Fool, key zero. And I think it was this last, maybe not the last episode, because the last episode was just like a full moon personal update I felt like making. But the one before that was actually a reading like this, right? The full moon transmission. I think I mentioned how, was it Three of Wands? That card is like a portal, right? Where it feels like, okay, there's no options. The doors are all locked. I can't get out. And then it's like you look over and there's this window that you can force yourself through if you want to, like if you decide to, if you're willing. And the Fool in this particular deck is actually, wow, this is interesting. Okay, it looks like it might be a bed. It might be an electric chair. I don't know. I think it's a bed, but I did see an electric chair first. Anyway, the person is jumping out of this bed that they're tied to in a way, like with a rope. And they're jumping out of a window. And they have a book and scissors in hand. So I guess the assumption here is the person jumps out of the window, but it's quite far down. And then they would use the scissors, but like untethering from this past timeline, past life, past experience, and jumping into a totally new world with the book, right? With the knowledge of and the wisdom that they need as guidance. So I think that's pretty interesting. It's an interesting visual. And honestly, I think that I see the Fool card a little different normally. Normally, I don't really see it so much as a leap, because even though, like, if you take out your Fool card from your Rider Smith-Waite deck, it looks like they might be about to like just carelessly walk off a cliff. But when I look at that card, I am not positive that that's a cliff, personally. When I look at it, I don't see a drop off. We don't see how far down it goes. It literally could just be a step. And so the way that I normally see it is like, okay, we don't really know what's there. It's just, you know, you kind of get to decide. And you're kind of doing it anyway. But this one, the person's head is down. They know exactly where they're going. They know exactly what they're doing. They like have a blueprint already that they picked and chose for themselves. And they even have like a safety precaution. So I find that very interesting. See how all of this sits with you. And yeah, if you're a patron, I would love to hear from you in our community Discord, which now is like revving up. Also though, if you're a patron and you haven't been in the Discord lately and you're no longer in it, it's because I did something called pruning and I didn't realize, this is how much I know about Discord. I didn't realize that would get rid of people who hadn't been online in 30 days or something, hadn't been on the Discord. So anyway, the server, like, the membership just like decreased by half. It was like 60 or 70 people and now it's like 37. sorry, if you accidentally got kicked, it was totally not on purpose. There is a link in one of the Patreon posts. So if you just look up Discord, oh, actually it's in the pinned post. There is a Discord link. And that there's also the timeline, the group jump link there as well. So anyway, I would love to hear your insights. If anything just stuck out to you, I just got hit with synchronicities, from this reading and also just from today. And some of them I can't tell yet. And I've always just historically not been great at keeping secrets, but I know I have to, so I'm going to, but I'm excited. And I think with how much is going on in the world, there are so many things that I could just freak out about. And I have done a lot of freaking out in my life. I've been in survival mode a lot in my life. Like looking back, I had no idea, but I've mostly lived in survival mode, like most of my 30 years. I'll just be honest. Like I don't feel shame about it because I don't think I'm alone. But I can totally be aware of what is going on externally and have empathy for other people who are affected, and myself for being affected by the same stuff. But I'm not going to let it hijack my nervous system. Internally, I see my flame and it is growing. And if you are in a place of reactivity, I just want you to know that it's not because there is something wrong with you. If you're in a place of despair, it's not because there's something wrong with you or that you're bad or anything like that. Yeah, let me give you a little calendula salve, a little balm. And, you know, energetically, and just tell you, like, I can't promise that things are gonna be okay for anybody, but I can tell you that there is a way to protect, Yarrow, to protect your internal flame through these times. And if you know someone who needs to hear that and would appreciate this podcast and doesn't mind that I am all over the place, jumping back and forth between, really, it feels like jumping back and forth between worlds while I'm having a conversation with you and myself, well, point them in my direction. I feel like I used to have to really work hard to be a ray of sunshine, but it's easy right now. And I don't mean that in a, I don't know. I just mean it. It is easy because it's sort of like I have to be. It's my job. It is my job in a way. Part of my purpose on this planet to in some way be a light. Maybe I'm more of like a candle flame than a ray of sunshine. It's not fucking fake, okay? It's not fake. It's here. Doesn't mean that I'm just regulated all the time, but yeah. I am pretty regulated right now and it feels good. You know what has helped me the most? Boundaries online, which I did not have even like a month ago. Probably since the last time you heard from me, I didn't have real boundaries. Like I had started creating them, but I've been enforcing them. And if you're someone who has DM'd me or, you know, responded to something and I didn't respond back, just know that it's not because I don't like value your input. It's just that sometimes I can't have a conversation, and that is actually very reasonable, you know? So, the Discord is the best place to chat with me, but you can also email me sleepyhousehealing.com. Okay. I love you. I hope that, yeah, you have a great week, and I'll be seeing some of y'all, quite a few of y'all, on the 5th, live, ready to jump into your next timeline. I am so fucking excited. All right, bye. Oh yeah, a final word if you're still here, I wanted to say that I have gratitude for my husband making all the little songs in here that I have added. I think they're precious and all totally different vibes, but I want to encourage him to keep making them because they're fun.